Alrighty. Let's get on with the show, Jack.
Alright, I guess. I saw the Thickums. Well, that's because she runs away. You think it's a boy or a girl? I think it's a girl. That's okay.
You talking about the little one?
No, Thickums.
Thickums? Oh, yeah.
The thicker orange cat.
The one that's more skittish?
Yeah.
Not as...
Not allowed. Someone... Aww. So someone said that we should name him Trump, the big balls, because he's loud and orange. And
how's about you give him a name that's like tangentially related to that?
You like, I know, babe. Me too.
Like maybe you name him like Glover.
Why?
Because it's Donald Glover. Tangentially related.
Why is Donald Glover related to Trump?
Donald Trump.
Oh, Donald. Okay, Donald.
Yeah. Donald. So you'll name him after a Donald, but not the orange one. I mean, it's completely... That's... How about Chester, like the cheetah?
Aw, that's cute.
The cheetah for
we
whom?
We like Big Tony, because...
Hey, Big Tony!
Because, like, so let's say, for example, you're on the phone. You hear in the background, what's that sound? Oh, it's just Big Tony.
It's just Big Tony.
It's Frank. Frank. I have too many friends named Frank.
Or Jorf.
No, it's Yorf.
See, there's two different spellings of it.
It's Yorf.
G-E-O-R-G-F-E. That's no, Jorf. And then there's J-O-R-F-E. That's Yorf.
Okay, no. Jorf is not Jorf. It's Yorfa. No, that's boss. Right? That's boss, right?
Yes. Jefe is boss.
Then what's Jeff in Spanish?
Fun fact, my brother's middle name is spelled Jefe Rey.
Jefe Rey?
Which is boss and king in Spanish. But his middle name is just pronounced Jeffrey.
That's awesome. But also really fucking funny.
But also
boss king.
Boss king.
They have some high hopes for him.
They had high hopes.
And then they just shat on you.
Yeah.
Fucking Crayola written goddamn.
Eric Anthony.
E-R-K. Erk. I can't spell my name.
When I do have to sign my name, I don't know cursive very well. So it's just E, a very distinct R, and then a C, and I just put a dot over it. And I'm like, that's Eric.
So good enough.
And so now I go by Anthony, and I have a nicer signature for Anthony, but I never use it.
I mean, okay. I can read and write cursive pretty well.
But I have a hard time reading cursive.
I can read it like I can almost read doctor's handwriting.
That's not even cursive. That's a specific language.
Spagills.
Spagills. The other word, Jorf, is one I've been obsessed with since yesterday. The one I've been obsessed with all week was my girlfriend got a Sam's Club membership.
Hey, wait. Y'all are official?
Yeah, we've been official. I just don't think I've said the word on the podcast yet.
Oh, finally.
Yeah.
Fuck. Well, you never actually told me that it was official.
I think I said it was official, but I don't think I said it was official.
But hold on. It's not official till it's Facebook official. Are you guys going to Facebook official? Well, Randall and I haven't Facebook official.
I log on to Facebook to comment on one thing a month and share the podcast half the time. I don't always share the podcast.
I tag you in things. You need to check more. I tag you in things to make fun of you. I tagged you in this post that Selena was tagged in, and then they had jello shots, and I tagged her. I said
that
you had an alcohol free jello shots. I'm like, what a party animal.
It was New Year's Eve. The other word.
I called you a party animal, you alcohol-free little bitch.
The other thing that I was obsessed with, the other word was sometimes my train of thought will just go to something stupid.
Bork.
Like Pete. Bork, similar to Bork. Because she said my girlfriend was signing up for Sam's Club.
Oh, fun.
And said she's going to send me the credentials to add me onto the card.
Sam's Club or Costco?
Sam's Club.
Sam's Club.
I may have said Costco earlier, but I believe it's Sam's Club.
Either one.
They're the same thing.
They are not.
They're just owned by different companies.
Well,
they are different companies. Anywho's it. She wanted to put me on the card holder as a card holder as the spouse. And I, for some reason, just laughed to myself and said, spoose.
Because moose. I get it.
Spoose.
I'm moose.
I'm doing it again.
Un momento, por favor. I have a lot of those.
Spoose?
No.
Words?
Verbs.
Like made up verbs.
Yes, literally verbs.
I got spoose. I got poogie.
Yeah.
I got borkin. Something is borkin.
Oh.
If it doesn't work, it's borkin. I got twigglers. Twigglers are the things you control a video game with. You got your twigglers.
Oh, okay.
They're your twigglers.
Yeah, they're the, yeah.
This is the hard part, is trying to remember them on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
I've got large milk, which is large milk.
Stubby milk.
Stubby milk.
Is Milos.
Stubby milk. Milos, excuse me, is Milo's lemonade. I've got Peef and Bork.
What's Peef?
Pork beef. What's Bork?
Bark.
No.
What? No?
No. Bork is beef pork.
What the fuck?
It's the mixture.
So they're both the same thing, basically.
But different.
They're the same, but different.
Okay, like, have you ever see two crayons, one that says blue-green and the other that says green-blue?
Yeah.
One is more...
That's beef and one's Bork.
Yeah.
I get you.
One is more the other than the one. Wow.
One is more the other than the one.
Why does that feel profound, but it's also super vague?
It's like when they talk about ours is not to question why. That, like, that kind of profound statement.
Yeah. One is more the one than the other.
One is more other than the one.
Yeah. Something.
Welcome to Let's Watch Something.
Bork.
Are you awake today?
Peef. Oh, I've got Pete's.
Pete's. That's Pete's a good one.
Pete's is my nickname for feet.
I'm Amperny.
Amperny. I honestly, like, I call you different things when you're not around. No offense.
Like the fucker.
No.
The kid.
The child.
That one bitch.
No.
The cunt.
The he bitch. Sir Whiny.
I'm just reminded of ending words in Ussy.
Ew, Gussy. Let's do it.
What? Because that's what my mind went to when you said I refer to you as other things when you're not around.
Gussy. The pod.
Oh God, I'm loud.
Yeah, you've just found that. Oh, was it because Sassy do?
She turned up my headphones.
I have a million nicknames for my cats. Well, we don't even have cats. We have one, but then there are like a couple that we feed outside. Well, there's one specific one. Sassy, are you just being a mess?
Anyway, I'm sorry. Not to cut you off, but to cut you off. What I was going to say was podcussy.
Ew.
I mean, you sent me the fucking link with the Willem Dafoe. Shut up.
The cat out there says, no!
No, that was my phone ringing.
No. No, listen.
So you have one speaker.
You hear it? Wow. I don't fucking told you.
Him a lot. I should bring my third mic and set it up by the window.
No, he's not out there. He's over here.
By the door. Just like to pick up the cat meow.
Ah! Or
I could just put it right there and Randall can finally have a mic when he has something to chime in.
He doesn't really want.
Which he does when we have like absurdly wrong information and he comes in and corrects us.
I like it though. He comes with
his little vape pen
and his lightsaber ready to correct like a daddy should. That's so weird. Never.
Sassy, I need to get.
I regret saying that.
Should I get Sassy off of here? Because she's like hugging.
Sassy, come get down, you fuck. Get down, you chubby butt. Sassy butt.
What's the TikTok that's been like living with you? Because mine is the piggy dipper.
I hate that.
Piggy dipper, the water ball with the piggy toes.
I hate that for some reason. I just don't like it.
It's fat shaming a cat. Which it's
a little bit.
It's not the fat shaming part. It's literally like the little piggies.
Yeah.
Because he's
the
dipping.
Little one is there.
Oh, the little kitty. Oh, that's adorable.
I know. Little one is so cute.
But the little piggies, like this little piggy, like
I know,
toes,
I get it.
The toe beans. But it's a funny sound. Piggy dipping in the wobble.
Look at how many fucking. Aww. Like, we have so many cats.
You got porch cats.
Porch cats.
So welcome to Let's Watch Something. I'm Anthony.
I'm Doodle. Doodlebug.
Doodlebug. I do the doodlebug.
Look at how cute that
one. I do the doodlebug.
That's not how it goes, but okay.
Well, burn, 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 burn.
I'm gonna just destroy your face.
That's fine.
With a baseball bat.
Last week we did Little Nicky.
Little Nicky.
Little Nicky.
Little Nicky.
Got Where is it?
Oh, Timothy.
And it sucked. That movie sucked more than Adam Sandler did on his own dick.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because if he could, you know he would do it.
You know, I agree with you with that. Most of his movies are just him sucking his own dick.
And I very bravely said that Little Nicky is Dogma, but for stupid people.
Yeah.
And so we watched
bravely,
Dogma.
I just realized you said the word bravely. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to argue, I suppose.
I mean, there are people that enjoy that movie. And.
But you know what? It's still kind of funny.
And one of them, maybe two of them, if my friend will actually listen, liked that movie. And they're probably going to disagree with our findings.
Yeah, probably.
If there are findings, because we went off track a lot last
there
week.
There was no findings.
Dogma.
Nipples.
Nipples. We're probably going to talk more about Little Nicky this week than we did last week.
Let's go, Dogma.
Let's go.
Let's go, Dogma.
That's too close to the Let's Go, Brandon.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I have to pee, but I'm not wearing pants. But
do you want me to pause the episode?
I can handle it.
Okay. We've got 40 minutes to go.
Okay. We'll work with this.
Dogma is like the third or the fourth movie. Like, it's real early on in Kevin Smith's career.
Yeah, it's honestly one of my favorite movies of all time. Sassy.
I had to kick her off because she keeps like headbutting the things and I can't have her doing that. Remember the time she stopped recording us?
Yeah.
No, Sassy Bean. I'm gonna put things in your I'm sorry, baby. I'm so
let
sorry.
Her sit if you let her sit I'm behind so you, what did you do to my fucking cat?
I'm so I was gonna put this here to put it in her way. But when
she
I was
doesn't
moving,
care, you know that, right?
When I was moving it, she jumped up and her head hit the headphones.
Yeah, she doesn't care, you know that, right? She'll just sit wherever she wants to sit, no matter what.
Let me put
something heavy.
Hat. Dogma, written and directed by Kevin Smith, starring
Ben Affleck,
Matt Damon, Salma Hayek's in there, Chris Rock's in there, Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith are Jay and Silent Bob, as are they.
Jason Lee's the
demon boy, Azrael.
Alan Rickman.
Alan fucking Rickman. And the main lady.
Chris Rock.
Who's the main woman?
I don't remember. Something Fiorentian or now.
She's not known for much else.
Oh, she was the lady in the morgue on Men in Black.
The mortician. We struggled
lady
with
in
that
the,
word.
Lady in the morgue. I like that. I want to watch a movie called Lady in the Morgue.
I just typed in the word Dorgma. I put an R
Dorg.
In there. Dorgma.
God damn it. Is that going to be another one? Dorg. Dorgma.
Dorgmatic. Linda Fiorentino.
Yeah, that guy.
She plays Bethany. Bethany works at a Planned Parenthood, and she is a Catholic. She's having a crisis of faith, and she's been having a crisis of faith.
For years.
For several years. Because as all women who are women, because this movie truly apparently understands what women are, and that's people that can bear children.
That's all we are. Or that's all women are.
That's like my one biggest complaint with this movie.
The only reason women exist is to pop out children.
Like, I get it that was Bethany's plan. She wanted to have a family with her husband. She wanted to have kids and couldn't. And her life got completely flipped upside down. She was unable to bear children. Her husband left her because she couldn't bear children.
I'm going to tell you right now that that's actually a very realistic thing, though.
It is.
So like, while you have criticisms about it, it is a very real thing that people actually deal with on a regular basis.
People that are unable, like, okay, but let me ask you, is it the response of being left because they can't have children, or people that are going through the crisis of not being able to have children?
It's both.
Right. I agree.
It's very much both. There is like an eternal sense of loss.
Right.
When you realize that you can't have children.
For people that is a long-term goal.
Yeah.
Because there are people
who don't want kids. And that's okay. That's fine for them. And that's not what this is about, though.
Right.
Like, this is specifically her story.
Her story.
So her story is she wanted children. She wanted that life. She wanted a family. And it fucked her up knowing that she can't.
Right.
And while I absolutely agree that a woman's worth, a woman's womanhood is not reliant on the fact that whether or not a person can bear children or not, her particular story is that her life, her goals, her desires, wants, needs were that she wanted children, and that was ripped from her.
That is, yes, I agree. That is like a main conflict for the character. Mm-hmm. What I would like to see is if a more modern version of this existed, it would have explored her coming to grips with her worth as a woman, with her womanhood outside of bearing children. Coming to terms with the fact that she can be and still is a woman despite not being able to have children. She is not a barren wasteland. She is a person and a woman, and she has value despite that.
Don't look at me. That wasn't me.
No, I heard it, but I'm also looking at you because I'm doing a podcast with you.
Oh.
You want to hear what was me?
That one actually sounded fake.
Oh, Jesus. Doesn't smell fake.
Get it away from me. Help. I'll scream rape.
Jesus Christ. They managed to put...
That was funny, though. I'm sorry. On. That was a funny joke to me.
Can we agree, you and I, Anthony and Jack of Let's Watch Something, Jack and Anthony,
yes,
that Dogma has used the word rape in a comedic fashion that was actually funny?
Yeah, 100%. As a person who is very triggered by rape jokes, rape scenes, anything really. That was funny to me. That was hilarious.
So Bethany is going to church. She wakes up in the middle of the night to a burning Alan Rickman calling himself Metatron, the voice of God. And Alan Rickman's Snape-ass ass.
I love him. Even he existed before Snape.
His Snapehood, his personhood is not tied to Snape.
Yes, he existed before Snape, and he was beloved before Snape.
Yeah.
People need to realize that Alan Rickman is a goddamn...
He did this Christmas movie?
Shh. Fuck you, you stupid ass. Shut the fuck up.
Two weeks ago, I was saying Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
You're a fucking idiot. I stand by that.
Because Bruce Willis himself has said as much.
I am that person who doesn't give a flying fuck about whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not. You know what Die Hard is? A movie.
That is correct.
That's all it matters. Like, that's all it is to me.
The Metatron tells Bethany that she will meet the two prophets. One of them, the one who talks,
and he will at great length,
will make himself a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is the silent type. And she's attacked by three kids on rollerblades.
Fucking ugly little fucks.
They come with like the sound of flies buzzing. As you said, like people, you said during the movie, people associate the sound of flies.
Yeah. It's a thing. It's a super huge superstition all across a lot of different beliefs that flies are associated with evil.
Evil.
Okay. Ethel.
She's attacked in the parking lot of her Planned Parenthood where she works.
Edgar's suit.
She's attacked in a parking lot.
No.
By three kids. On roller skates.
Okay.
I'm combining it with the Dane Cook from earlier.
Oh, no. On roller skates.
And she's saved. She's saved in a very... She saved in a very shitty action sequence. I said this during the movie.
Who cares? That
Kevin Smith, as talented as he is as a writer and a director, his action sequences, especially early on, left a lot to be desired.
I don't think he cares about the action sequence because it wasn't really much about the action.
Yeah, like I feel like the whole point of it was the reveal. She's being attacked by kids, and you hear "Snooch to the motherfucking nooch!"
Yeah, and all that jazz.
You see, fists flying.
Boop.
Close-ups of like jump cuts of fists. The hair, the blonde hair, a bearded face striking, like lighting a cigarette, and it's the reveal of Jay and Silent Bob in Illinois.
As a Midwesterner.
As a what?
Midwesterner.
Midwesterner.
Oh gosh, there, as a Midwesterner, I think that it kind of was a little bothersome to hear y'all talk about Illinois like that.
I'm sorry, there's an S in that word.
It's Illinois.
I'm spelling this word out.
I don't care if you spell it out.
Illinois.
I'm gonna pee right on you.
They go to a diner. Part of what I have an initial, like, it's jarring, it's hard to watch. Jason Mewes, his character Jay, is a fucking sex obsessed misogynist.
Bullshit asshole motherfucker lion ass bitch.
He's
sitting here right in front of me telling me it's hard to watch. Psh,
it's dopey. Okay, it's funny, but there's shit in it that's uncomfortable because he's like, "We saved your ass. You're not gonna fuck us."
Well, okay, but here's the thing.
I guess it is.
We know who he is when we're going into watching this movie, usually.
That's fair.
So we know this dumb little ass is going to be looking for sex.
Yeah.
Because he's a hoe.
They're sitting in the diner, and he's like, "We came here to pick up loose women. Because we watch these fucking movies by John Hughes."
Yeah.
He goes on this long fucking spiel about John Hughes movies, about how there's all these hot chicks and all these shitty dudes in them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's except all these Jed women. Nelson. Except for Jed Nelson.
Yeah.
I can't even watch this movie with his fat ass, because every time she gets with the guy, he has to start crying. It's painful to watch a fat man cry.
And I look directly at you. Because it is painful to watch you cry.
So Bethany's like, "I think I was meant to meet you two.
Unfortunately.
And to go with you.
Unfortunately.
To New Jersey.
Look at the little one. Look outside right now."
Aw. Because there are the two angels trying to re-enter heaven. There's like a plot. There's a fucking George Carlin plays a priest. It's got the bloody Jesus.
Hell yeah.
There's a plot, and there's
Christ Wow campaign.
Catholicism,
thank you.
There's the two angels, Loki and
Bartleby.
Bartleby.
Or Larry and Barry.
Larry and Barry.
Of course they had to get creative, didn't they?
Played by Matt Damon and the other one.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. And I was watching this movie, and like Ben Affleck was like being all dopey. I was like, this man went on to play Batman.
Yeah, he did. Not all that great.
I mean, did you see it?
No, didn't want to.
I kind of want to do Batman v Superman because it's such trash for the podcast. It's such fucking trash. So Bethany's like, "You're going to come. I want to go with, I want you, we're going to go to New Jersey together. I'll drive." And like, Jason, he's like, "Nah, you're fucking crazy." He's talking about
I'll
how
drive.
She's crazy. He, no, he's like, he's a fucking crazy bitch. She grabs his wrist and he says, "I'll scream rape."
Yeah.
This guy.
That was funny.
Jay, if you know the character.
Yeah.
You know why that's fucking hilarious.
Because he's just always out to get laid. Like,
what makes it so palatable? You know, because otherwise I would not be singing these praises of such a character.
He's
never rewarded for it. That's the crux of it. That's the most important part of Jay's character.
He's sex thirsty, but he's also actually a decent person. Like outside of that,
yeah, he's got a very abrasive attitude. He's very foul mouthed. He can be an asshole. He will try to fuck you,
but he'll also fight the fuck for you.
Yeah,
like every single time she's ever been like
a pervert with a heart of gold.
Yeah, every time she's ever been in any kind of like remotely like he goes to defend her or like he'll try to like go and fight for her. Every single time.
Yeah, and he believes her weird story, kind of.
And not initially, but then he just kind of goes with it.
I feel like one, if I were to meet Kevin Smith and do an episode of the podcast with him, it would be six hours long. Because
I'm sorry, he is like
famous for never shutting up, which I never do.
It would just be you two battling to see who fucking...
We just start talking over each other.
It would get to the point where, like you can't even fucking, I'm sorry. It'll get to the point where, like, you can't, there's nothing to be understood because you're just talking over each other.
Yeah. I do love hearing him talk. I love his stories.
He's so funny and so cute. Yeah. Like, I've always had such a crush on him. Like, always.
The one, I told Jack, I've never seen this movie uncensored. Mm. I've only seen it on Comedy Central because...
you never saw it, like, late at night?
Well, no, because
they'll play it late at... They used to play it late at night uncensored. Did really? You know that?
No.
Yeah, no, like, it'll have, like, a warning before the movie plays. But, like, Comedy Central used to play it uncensored... But it'd be at like 1 a.m.
See, I feel like this is the movie to play uncensored. This is like the Schindler's List of comedies.
Whoa.
Because like that was a thing. Like,
no. Fuck you. I will fight you.
What's the Schindler? Is it Black Dynamite?
Yes. To me, Black Dynamite is literally like the fucking peak comedy. Fucking pure gold. You can't get better. I honestly think you cannot get better comedy than fucking Black Dynamite.
But what I'm likening it to is Schindler's List, which is a movie that takes place during World War II. It's black and white. It's seen as like art. It's very artful. It's very like well received by critics. It's historically important. It's a good ass movie. Allegedly, I've never seen it.
I've never seen it. No, I have, but I was way too little to understand it.
See, whenever you say I have seen it, but I was way too, there are two ways it could go. Little or stoned? Have you seen Cars 3?
Yes, but very, very stoned.
Have you seen Schindler's List?
Yes, but very, very young. Exactly. I was probably like in preschool. And I'm not even kidding. Like, is that a movie to let a preschooler watch?
No.
Because I understand that I remember scenes like blips in my memory.
Yeah, that's called trauma.
Yeah.
It is a movie about the Holocaust.
I know. And I do recall watching blips and I remember scenes of black and white trains being loaded.
Yeah.
And that's what I remember from it.
So when I say like Schindler's List is a movie that's important to society that got played uncensored several times.
Mm-hmm.
Dogma is that but for comedies. It's important. It's a good example of free speech. It's funny as hell. It's smart as hell.
Calm down. Dial it down.
The scene on Comedy Central, look at how I brought it back. The scene on Comedy Central that I remembered was they're speeding down the highway. Jay is driving Bethany's car, speeding, and she goes, "What gear are you in?"
Gear?
And it just cuts to the car being broken down.
And that's what it is, though. It kind of does. That's what it does. You don't recall that?
No, I recalled that. I just remembered, gear!
Yeah.
And then while they're walking along the road, Bethany's like, fuck this, I'm going home. Naked Chris Rock falls from the heavens.
No, specifically he's like, guys like us just don't fall from the sky, you know?
Poof. Poof. Beautiful big-titted women don't just fall from the sky, you know.
And then,
like I said, he is a pervert, but he's never rewarded for it.
He's a likable perv.
Yeah,
they exist.
He's not a bad person.
He's not going to force it on you.
Yeah,
he wants a willing participant.
Right.
He just wants everybody, though.
He just wants everybody to participate.
Yeah.
Chris Rock plays the 13th Apostle.
Rufus. I love that name.
I love Rufus as a character in this movie because it again is like a subversion of what we know about religion, about Christianity.
Yeah.
The whole movie is basically like dogma. Dogma is like, this is like the rules of what is according to the Bible. Bartleby and
Loki. Bless you.
That's why I was stuttering. Bartleby and Loki found a loophole in the dogma to get into heaven.
Poophole.
Get back into heaven because they were cast out. Mm-hmm. Rufus is left out of the Bible because he's black.
Because I'm a black man. I can't do it. What? Was that like the worst Chris Rock you've ever heard?
Yeah. Probably only as bad as mine.
Yeah.
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 I can't. I'm not. I don't have. I can't do impressions, but you know.
I have my couple, that's it. I'm terrible at impressions.
I don't do impressions. I just do voices. I have my own, like, they have their own, like, thing.
I'm terrible at voices.
I'm good at voices. I can do anything. Well, kind of. Not really. I'm going to retract that statement.
Rufus is just talking all about how he knew Jesus, how he walked with Jesus.
Oh, you were buddies.
And they're like, wait, we're gonna walk and we're going to finish our fucking pilgrimage because you've got a mission to do.
You ever seen a fat apostle?
Yeah.
We walked everywhere.
And then they specifically hold on Kevin Smith on Silent Bob.
He's so cute, though.
He was not as big as he was later on.
He got bigger, and then he slimmed down. And you know what? He was beautiful in all his glory. Every pound, give or take. I thought he was hot. Still, well, I mean, he lost weight, and now his neck looks gross. So, like, that really... Like, when people get big and then they lose a significant amount of weight, their necks and their eyes look gross. And it bums me out. So I'm just like, I'd rather see you puffy and fat than saggy and weird.
There's a thing that Kevin Smith does. He has his askew pictures, the askewniverse. He likes everything to be tied together. Jay and Silent Bob are characters from another movie.
Almost all of his movies.
Almost all of his movies. They were probably talked about being put into fucking Tusk at one point.
Oh no. I could see it.
Yeah, you could see it happening just like randomly in Canada. We heard that there's white bitches.
What?
I don't know.
White bitches.
You know, like pale Scandinavian.
Albino.
No, like specifically pale Scandinavian. Scandinavian, I'm sorry. And Jay specifically goes on like a very long rant about how, like, Icelandic people, you ever see them? They're, like, really skinny. They're really pale and scrawny. They got beautiful blue eyes and blonde hair. I love that on a woman. And, like, okay. Like his fucking logic of, I'm going to find bitches, comes with knowledge of bitches.
I mean, like, I don't know.
It's really funny. Like, that, because that's what happened here is, they're here because of the John Hughes movies, and he had a fucking encyclopedic knowledge of those movies because
not the bitches.
Yeah, and so he was like, "I'm gonna come here because there are bitches here," and then there wasn't, and then that's.
Well, that's because the Illinois didn't exist.
Yeah, Sherman, Illinois.
Yeah,
they end up at Mubies.
Mubi the cow.
Which is funny because part of Loki and Bartleby's pilgrimage back to heaven through this loophole of everyone that walks through the gates of the doors of the church is exalted of all sin, so they can go back to heaven. They're like, we're going to do the Lord's work. Good old-fashioned Old Testament. They go to the offices of Mubi to like fucking lay waste to the CEO and the board. Because they are idolizing a golden calf. There's a fucking idol on the table. Which makes you
statue.
It makes you realize, like, how long had Kevin Smith, rather, been planning for this? Because Mubi the Cow was a thing.
A real thing?
No, in the movies.
Oh.
In his movies. I want to say, it probably started with Mallrats. But, like...
Oh, you said you never saw it.
I never did. I'm talking out my ass. But I know that he's put it in other movies.
Okay.
So, like, he probably was thinking about doing something with the golden calf at some point. Loki and Bartleby go up to the boardroom. He's carving a fucking onion. Like, what the fuck was that about?
He was making a fucking voodoo doll dummy.
Yeah, I know, but, like, did it have to be an onion? Was it because he was white?
I don't know. It just was there. It was fucking, who cares?
He's got a very long and...
Onions are smelly. They bring notice.
Yeah, they noticed him. But, like, also, they were just sitting there. They have a long and drawn-out and fucking pompous speech about sin and worshipping a golden calf and, like, all of what they've done, all the horrible things...
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
That made them bad stuff. People. And, like, I've talked at length.
Yeah, you did.
At how well Kevin Smith writes dialogue. This is the one scene I can't fucking stand.
Why?
It's a level of, I am the best person in the room right now from Loki, and how shitty they are, how shitty these people, the board members are. It's not fun. It's a monologue written by a guy who's good at dialogue. Like, he's good at, he's great at dialogue. There are scenes between Loki and Bartleby that are so, like, the tension, the relationship between them is so clear by the way they talk to each other. But when they are fucking monologuing, it's not as good.
I don't know. What makes a good monologue?
It's definitely the performance. And I feel like the performance was fine. Matt Damon did a good job. But, like, there's just a level of, like, you have to accept this. We are literally suspending our disbelief to watch this movie. And within the universe of this movie, we're suspending our disbelief that they're not there's just not a way to get these two guys, these two strangers out of the boardroom. How do they get there?
Call security. Knife to the fucking thing.
Right.
Like, he, the intercom. So,
and
they kind of couldn't.
These fucking white dudes, these old white dudes didn't want to fucking throw hands with a younger looking dude?
Yeah, probably not. They're not, like, I'm sure they're not, like, feisty.
They're not feisty. That's like, it just doesn't gel well with me, you know?
I don't know.
I loved putting on the Mubi CD, and it's like a fucking
that goofy song up.
As he's talking about, I hear the cat again.
Yeah, he's out there. Dude. Okay.
You gonna talk again, buddy?
Hello?
Hello?
Sometimes he sounds like he's like right outside the door.
That's why I'm here.
I know.
I've moved my microphone close to the door.
It's fine. Just...
okay.
God damn you.
Sorry.
You're picking that up. Whenever.
He smashes the fucking voodoo doll. And he's like, I don't believe in this. Walks out.
But I do believe in this.
Comes with it in with a gun. That part was hokey as hell.
I thought it was funny.
And Bartleby points it out. You know?
I do believe in this. What's that about?
And as, you know, like, being self-aware of what is essentially a bad joke does not make the bad joke any better. You know? Just the fact that he acknowledges it because the person who wrote the acknowledgement wrote the joke. Like, am I going to believe that Kevin Smith was like, I need to give Bartleby one last snarky punchline to this scene, so I'm going to write a shitty joke? Or did he write a shitty joke and think, that sucks, I'll put in Bartleby saying shit?
Yeah. I feel like that's what it was.
Do you need to go pee?
It's going to be more than that, and I want to just kind of hurry up and finish this.
Okay, we got like 20 minutes left. Can you do it?
I'm trying real hard.
Do you need to hold my hand?
I'm like sweating.
You got the meat sweats. Do you want to hold my hand?
No.
Okay. Do you want to hold Sassy?
No, she's so cute right now.
Look at Sassy. Think about Sassy. Help. Distract yourself from the pain. Is it because Sassy's in the bathroom with you?
No. What?
Like, is Sassy in the bathroom with you sometimes? So looking at Sassy is like, I'm in the bathroom?
No, she doesn't. She likes her privacy when she goes.
Okay.
Just like I do.
They get on a fucking train, and they meet two dudes, Larry and Barry. And it's a scene. I love these. When there is a movie with a protagonist and an antagonist, you got the good guy, you got the bad guy. You got the good guy who's like, this is bad man, I'm going to do everything I can to stop them. But Dogma, and movies like Dogma, this isn't, like, they didn't invent this trope. Bethany didn't know what Bartleby and Loki looked like. So when she's talking with Barry about losing her faith, he doesn't know that she's talking to
Bartleby,
the fallen angel that she has to stop from doing the thing. She didn't know that. Same thing with Jay and Silent Bob talking with Loki, smoking pot. And Loki can't smoke it, so he hides it under the table. Bartleby talks at length about how, you know, you lose faith. I lost faith a long time ago because I felt like God wasn't listening anymore. Oh, shit, I forgot about Selma Hayek as Epiphany.
No.
Serendipity.
Serendipity, duh.
Serendipity, the muse. So they, what you call it?
go to a strip club?
They're at a strip club, yeah.
Serendipity's there. Excremental.
The excremental, yeah, the excremental. It's a shit demon. It's like one of the worst jokes, but I loved it because they called it an excremental. I don't know if there's any biblical precedent for that. Because I don't know shit about religion.
Of course you don't, and that's okay.
But one of the things I do like about the movie is Kevin Smith did his fucking homework. He put a disclaimer at the beginning about it being all in good fun. It's not meant to be a disrespectful thing. The only person in the movie who is preaching non-belief is Bartleby. The fact that religious people have a problem with this is they didn't watch it.
It wasn't Bartleby, it was Loki.
It was Loki? That's right, it was Loki. But Bartleby brings it up with Bethany towards the middle of the movie. So they meet Serendipity, the fucking muse. They meet Bartleby and are talking with him. And she's talking all about how her crisis of faith while she's drunk. And it, again, is the tying her worth and her whole thing to having kids. And how, where was God? Where was God when that happened? Serendipity was like, God's a woman. But when I put that thought into people's heads, the writers were men and they put their own interpretation on my words. And so God became a woman.
God became a man.
Whoops. The first sin was committed by Eve. Women are villainized in the Bible, like that whole spiel. When she's talking with Bartleby, when she's talking about God, she is using the she pronoun, whereas Bartleby keeps using he, which is giving credence to the, well, how do you know she was never listening? And Bartleby says, yeah, maybe he wasn't. Because it gives that idea of, did he even meet God? Everybody, like, throughout the whole movie, you know what? Fuck. Holy shit.
What?
I'm talking about how this movie doesn't fucking give worth to womanhood outside of giving birth. When
They made God a woman.
They made God a woman. And Bethany is holding on to that. She's holding on to that when everyone is telling her God is a he.
But think about that. That's the kind of like the ultimate, like God is the ultimate creator of life. Right?
Right.
One, God's got a
vagina.
Yeah. Basically like God is where like life was created. So is a woman's womb.
Right.
Or a person's womb. Because, you know, men can have wombs and uteruses and all that shit too.
This movie is so fun to watch as a non-believer. It really is, because we are watching a movie where in the universe of the movie, it's real. God exists. God exists in the universe that Kevin Smith created.
As Alanis Morissette.
So Alanis Morissette.
Very big mouth.
So they get into a fight with Bartleby and Loki once they realize who they are, because Rufus wakes up from his little homeless nap.
Which is funny as shit because he uses his shoe.
He uses his shoe as a pillow, wearing a dirty coat. I mean, like, he was an apostle. They walked everywhere. They didn't have homes. They walked around everywhere. They slept in camps. They slept where people would let them stay. They were homeless. They have a fight with Bartleby and Loki. Silent Bob yeets him
from the train.
Yeets him out the back door, turns to a dude who's staring at him and goes,
No ticket.
No ticket. Like, there are compilations of every time Silent Bob speaks. The best ones are in this movie.
Like, never. He only says no ticket and thanks.
In Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, there's a scene where they're like, where are we going to find the whatever, the MacGuffin? And Silent Bob does a gesture of the window. It said a thing. And Jay's like, just fucking say it, man. I don't know what all this silent act is about. Why do you keep doing this? You can just fucking say the words. Silent Bob grabs him by the goat and says, the sign on the back of the car, it said pets whatever, and it had an address. And he says, fucking moron. It's like, right. People love that scene. They think it's funny, but Silent Bob is yelling at Jay for shit that he wouldn't just say. He could have said the sign on the back of the car, it said this. But instead, he just had to, like, do this whole shit. Whereas in Dogma, he just says, no ticket. It's fucking funny. They meet with the fuck's his name. Oh no, they're camping out in the woods, and Rufus is telling them, if there's someone who knows where you are, don't be there. Because that, so they're not on the train. They get off the train and they're hiking through the woods. Then she tells him what it means to be the last Scion, because everyone keeps calling her that. And then through fucking exposition of Jesus had siblings, and a really wonderful scene. Like, if you believe in the scripture, if you believe in it, the Bible goes from Jesus being 12, being told that he's the Son of God, to Jesus being 30. There are 18 years of a young man grappling with the weight of being not just the Son of God, but being God himself incarnate as a boy on earth who is going to die for humanity's sins, to be crucified. So like a young man coming to the grips with that weight, with that responsibility, with that fate that he is going to have. Virgin Mary, she was a virgin when she gave birth, but she had a wife and they had a family.
She had a wife?
She had a husband. Look at me making everybody gay. Yeah. She had a husband and they had kids together. So Jesus had half brothers and those children had children. So that Bethany is the great, 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 great grandniece of Jesus Christ, which meant she shares half a chromosome with Jesus.
Which is weird.
But which for some reason makes her
something
divine in some way.
Which is weird. I don't get it.
So now she's struck with this this knowledge, this destiny.
I think this is going to be a side note here for... I think it's because when people say the, I don't know, I guess, never mind, cut that.
Okay. Bethany runs crying through the woods and fucking splashes down in a goddamn pond, in a lake. Probably one of the most beautiful and like, if you pause and you think about it, that is a fucking image of a baptism. That is being reborn. That is Bethany realizing her divine heritage and her destiny, coming to grips with it in a very biblically charged moment. And then she is reunited with the Metatron standing on fucking water.
You want to hear something kind of funny?
What?
When I was baptized, apparently I spit water back on the priest. I was a toddler.
I was not baptized.
I grew up Catholic.
I'm the only one of my brothers that hasn't been.
Weird.
And
oh, cool.
My grandma, who... doesn't speak to anybody, apparently has been harping on Scott to have all of the kids baptized because there's his two kids and then his wife's three kids. And she's like, when are they getting baptized? I don't know what he said in response to that, but that's that. they end up in New Jersey. They're stopping at a bar and here comes fucking Asriel, Jason Lee, Earl to just,
fuck
you. He kills the bartender. He does a joke about a holy bartender, shoots him, and then has the fucking demon kids with the skates hold him back. They take the fucking club that the priest had, bash his fucking chest in, and kill the demon. I'm a fucking demon.
Keep going.
It's a great moment. Meanwhile, Loki and Bartleby are at the church, and they are laying waste.
No.
They're divine shit.
They talk to the Cardinal first.
Yeah, Bethany and crew did that first.
Mm-hmm. Trying to get him.
And George Carlin was like, "Hell no." That's basically what I skipped over. And then when shit goes down as planned, Loki and Bartleby are laying waste to the fucking congregation, killing folks, and like showing off their wings, and they're like, "We're angels of the Lord, and we're gonna kill you, motherfuckers." Bethany and the crew, they break the fuck out of there. Serendipity is back. She shows up to be a part of this massive fucking thing. And they're like, how far is the church? About three towns over, maybe 10 minutes.
Shut up.
Oh, no, it's 10 miles.
Yeah.
That's living in Texas. 10 miles from here is where I live in the same fucking city.
Yeah, but you know.
New England, you know. It's New England is smaller. Loki, he's ripped his wings off. He's human. He's drunk. And he is full of guilt, full of regret. Bartleby is self-righteous. He's dropping folks. He's having fun. He's snapped. He's like, yep, we know what's going to happen. And we're fucking loving it. Because we're going to show that God is wrong. He doesn't care about anything. His crisis of faith is not that God stopped listening. His crisis of faith was that the angels were his first creation, or her first creation, but she had a favorite, and that was humans, who were given a beautiful home that they destroy. They have all the humanity. There are people that don't believe in God. That they don't. They live in sin. They're horrible people, and they're still God's favorite. They're full of patience. When it came time to wage war against Lucifer for the throne of heaven, if you didn't fight, you were cast out of heaven. Where was God's patience then? And that was a fucking good point. And that's what I was talking about with Loki's monologue before, and him, Bartleby, talking to Loki about this new crisis of faith, about how that there are consequences and they don't give a shit anymore. This monologue is so fucking good. Then the fucking MacGuffin of all, the Deus Ex Machina, the part of this that I did not care for, is God stepped away to go play skee ball. While they're outside the church, while there's people fucking dying, while the angel is laying waste to people, Jay just goes, it's better, I don't want to die fucking sad and alone like John Doe at the hospital over there. And suddenly Bethany's like, oh my God, that's the hospital. Is there a place is there skee ball nearby? Yeah. So she goes in and pulls the fucking plug on God, sends her back to heaven. And then God shows up. We really should have stopped to let you go to the bathroom.
I'm like sweating.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. We're almost there.
God is fucking back. Kills the fuck out of Bartleby by just speaking. Bartleby's head explodes and his heart pops out of his chest. Bethany is reborn as a new woman. She is given a pregnancy. More giving credence to the fucking a woman's worth is giving children. Like, that's what they fucking end on. That's a big criticism for me. That's a big problem. But it's a good fucking movie. Jack Attack. Hold it for a little bit longer.
I'm trying so hard.
How many Jack Snacks do you give
Dogma? I love Dogma. This movie so much. Four.
Do you want me to mute your channel while you go and I'll wrap up on my own?
No, because I'm not wearing pants.
I won't look, I promise.
No, just do it. Okay, and then fine. Just leave. Like, immediately.
Okay. I'll just leave the mics out. You can handle.
I'll have Randall help me.
Okay. I agree with you. I'm going to give Dogma a 5 out of 5. It's fucking good. It is art. It is perfect. It has problems that I object to morally. It has plot holes that I don't care for. But in the grand scheme of things, this is a fucking beautiful and hilarious movie. That's it. Like, I fucking love this movie so much.
You got
so
a lot
much.
To pack up.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Until next time, Jack Attack. Don't shit your pants.
I'm going to pee.